This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
This is Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, Sirius XM Channel 80, and you can find us on the ESPN app. Amber Wilson and Mike Wells, we are filling in for the guys, taking you up until 3 p.m. Eastern. You can tweet to us at Mike Wells NFL, at Amber W Sports. You can also always give us a call and join the conversation at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. ESPN Radio is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. So we had some breaking news from our very own Adam Schefter in the NFL yesterday, Mike. Arizona Cardinals star Kyler Murray, he agreed to a five-year extension worth $230.5 million. Significant portion, $160 million of that, was guaranteed. And so it's another quarterback getting paid. On a per annual basis, his deal ends up making him the second highest paid quarterback in the NFL at $46.1 million, second only to the Aaron Rodgers. Now, there's another quarterback out there, Mike, that a lot of people consider better than Kyler Murray, who still hasn't inked his extension yet. And of course, I'm talking about Lamar Jackson. Jeremy Fowler said something really interesting today, Mike, that I want you to listen to. Our ESPN NFL reporter said the Ravens might not be willing to give him Kyler-type money.
I don't know that even the Ravens are willing to give him the Kyler Murray deal at this point. I think they, from what I've heard, it's like there's a gap in the pay, and it's going to have to be bridged by one of the parties. And right now, it hasn't been. I don't know if there have been enough talks, enough negotiations to even get that far, because, you know, Lamar talked to GM Eric DaCosta at minicamp. That was considered productive, but that was also really a victory at the time because they hadn't had a lot of conversations. And so maybe it will heat up now that Lamar is back in Baltimore. He has reported for training camp. By all indications, he will be on the field. And so in good faith, maybe they can negotiate this a little further. But right now, there just hasn't been enough movement to even know what it would look like.
So he didn't say it was impossible, right? Not much movement, though, on that front. Can you imagine a world where Lamar Jackson is not making nearly as much and doesn't have the security as Kyler Murray?
I need to call my good friend Jeremy Fowler and ask him, is he joking about this? How in the world, why would the Ravens even think, okay, we're not going to give him that type of money? Their quarterback, their franchise quarterback, Lamar Jackson, blows Kyler Murray away. And this is no knock on Kyler. Kyler's a very talented quarterback, obviously, for him to get that lucrative contract on Thursday afternoon. But Lamar Jackson, he's got that MVP title. He is a threat in multiple ways. He shook off the notion of he's just a running quarterback. He proved that he knows how to throw the football well. And the fact that so much of the Ravens franchise is weighted on Lamar Jackson's shoulders, this should be a no-brainer for the front office in Baltimore. Soon as the Kyler news broke by Adam Schefter yesterday, it should have been like, okay, now we need to go. We know where the bar is set. We're probably going to have to go higher than that. They shouldn't even say no. This shouldn't even be a discussion, Amber, where anybody says, are we sure? Are we sure Lamar deserves that type of money? It should be a given that Lamar Jackson is going to surpass the amount that Kyler Murray got.
Lamar Jackson is going into the fifth and final year of his rookie deal, his fifth year option. He will make just over $23 million this season. That Kyler Murray deal is $46 million per year when it kicks in. We saw Aaron Rodgers at over 50 per year when his deal kicks in. I believe Patrick Mahomes is also right around 45 per year on his deal. So you're seeing the quarterback market set well into the 40s and even the 50s in the case of Aaron Rodgers. You have a Lamar Jackson with an MVP on his resume making $23 million bucks this year and with the expectation that he's going to go out there on a final year of a deal and risk his body. And we know that that team has been decimated by injuries, but also so has Lamar Jackson. And we know how he plays the game. So there's a lot of risk that comes with that. But it's not just the Kyler Murray deal here that has reset the quarterback market. It's the Deshaun Watson deal. And I remembered, Mike, something really interesting. When I heard this quote from Jeremy Fowler, it actually made me think back to the owners' meetings in beautiful Palm Beach, Florida, back in March. Let me take you back there, because I remembered that there was some interesting quotes from Steve Biscotti, who's the owner of the Baltimore Ravens. Back then, he was asked about the Deshaun Watson deal. Now, remember, Deshaun Watson got 230 $30 million, and the whole thing is fully guaranteed. So Kyler got $160 million guaranteed, even though his deal is worth well over $200 as well. But still, the guaranteed money in these deals is remarkable, particularly Watson's. And Biscotti was reacting to the Deshaun Watson deal. He said, I'm trying to answer that when I had a reaction to it. And it's like, damn, I wish they hadn't guaranteed the whole contract. I don't know that he should have been the first guy to get a fully guaranteed contract. To me, that's something that is groundbreaking, and it'll make negotiations harder with others. With others. That's interesting. Mm-hmm. Then he went on to say, the owner of the Baltimore Ravens, but it doesn't necessarily mean that we have to play that game, you know? We shall see. If I was bogged down in negotiations with Lamar, then maybe I would have a quicker reaction to that news. So Steve Biscotti back in March said, it doesn't necessarily mean we have to play that game. Now Kyler Murray gets paid and you have a report from Jeremy Fowler. It doesn't necessarily mean the Baltimore Ravens are going to play that game. What do you make of all this?
Man, whew. It makes me think, okay, maybe the Ravens are going to play hardball because, you know, when you see the bar that Deshaun Watson said, especially from the guaranteed standpoint, that, you know, they're not only in Baltimore, but I'm sure a number of other teams, Cincinnati, the Chargers, there were a lot of cringing going on because they started thinking, okay, our quarterback is picture perfect, doesn't get any kind of off the field problems, is a model citizen on the football field, leads us to victories, and their agents are going to say, man, they're going to hold Deshaun Watson and that contract against whatever team they're playing for, and they're going to basically stack everything up side by side and say, my client does X, Y, and Z. He deserves top dollar. He deserves top dollar off of that. And for the Ravens standpoint, they're the next team that's going to have to deal with the standard that was set in Arizona and also in Cleveland with the Browns.
What we don't really see happen in that league is we never really see the team refused to pay the quarterback and the quarterback to play hardball and leave and go somewhere else, right? Like, none of that really happens with star quarterback.
No, because there's so many other, you know, they got the franchise tag. There's so many elements that right. make it hard for that star quarterback to be able to just say, this is not like the, you know, when it comes to the NBA where you can say, I'm a free agent and I'm just going to leave. I'm unrestricted. I'm rolling. You know, NFL teams had that franchise tag. They're like, no, you're not going anywhere. We're going to tag you and then hopefully work out a long-term deal. That's just, it's not as easy compared to other sports to just depart like that.
Right, and that's exactly what would happen with Lamar Jackson after this season if they're not able to reach a deal with him. But the power that you do have if you're Lamar, because nobody wants to be tagged even though it's a boatload of money in a single season, the power that you do have if you're Lamar is that you could not show up this season, right? I mean, you don't have to get out there and play. Yes, it might cost you some funds in the interim, but don't show up. Don't show up to training camp. Play hardball. Don't show up and actually play during the season. Don't risk your body when you don't have the deal in place. If they're refusing to show up and pay you at the same rate that the market is set now for quarterbacks.
Yeah, it is. But, you know, I'm not sure. I mean, that's a great thought to have, but I don't think Lamar is built that way, that where he'll say, okay, yeah, I'm just going to be difficult in that situation. Lamar doesn't come across as that guy who wants to, you know, try to stick it to the team he's playing for, because the reality is, without Lamar Jackson, we saw how the Baltimore Ravens are without Lamar Jackson. They're clearly not the same football team as it would be with a number of other teams without their franchise player. Baltimore, it's a matter of, okay, Lamar's going to say, I'm going to show up. Now, does that mean, you know, show up and not practice but holding out? I just don't think that's in Lamar Jackson's DNA. He seems to want to do what's best for, you know, the franchise and obviously for himself, and holding out may not be the case.
Well, holding out's definitely not what's best for the team or the franchise, but it would be what's best for Lamar Jackson, because the truth of the matter is that when you have the security of a 5-year deal and you have a whole bunch of guaranteed money like all these quarterbacks are getting now, then fine, you don't have to worry so much about going out there and risking your body with the injuries. But it's the lack of guaranteed money right now that Lamar Jackson is at risk for. And I mean, you're talking now hundreds of millions of dollars. Like, think how insane that is. We are quite literally talking about $150 million plus guaranteed being on the line. His deal should be north of two, but guaranteed being on the line. That's remarkable for a player that we know has been injury prone in the past, and that there are some questions, obviously, about the risk to his body with the way that he plays the game. And so he will be taking a huge one if he goes out there and plays this season on the final year of a rookie deal. This is Barton Hahn, Amber Wilson, and Mike Wells filling in for the guys. We are taking you up until 3 o'clock Eastern. You can always give us a call. Join the conversation on the call-in line at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Coming up next, we have power rankings, but not your typical power rankings. We will use our magic ball. We will look into the future. But right now, Mike has a word from O'Reilly.
O'Reilly Auto Parts is here to keep your car on the road with the right parts. Advice from the professional parts people and their free loaner tool program. I learned from O'Reilly Auto Parts that there's no need to purchase a tool if you're going to use it just once. Your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store has more than 80 specialty tools available for rent for your next repair. Refundable deposit required at the time of rental. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today and ask about their free loaner tool program or visit O'ReillyAuto.com.
Amber Wilson and Mike Wells filling in for the guys here on Barton Hahn. We are taking your calls throughout the show, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. And that's where we find John in Memphis. John, what you got for us?
Hey, guys, how you doing? Just want to say I've been enjoying listening to you guys fill in on all these shows recently here. I'm an Uber driver, and me and my guys were listening to you guys talk about the Ravens, and I seemed a little surprised about the reluctancy that they may not want to possibly pay Lamar. And it just kind of reminded me of when Joe Flacco bet on himself and didn't sign an extension until after he won the Super Bowl and got a whopping six-year, I think, $120 million deal that the Ravens ended up suffering from until they drafted Lamar Jackson. And I'm thinking they probably don't want to go through that again. What do you guys think?
Yeah, that's actually a really good point. And the ultimate flex, right? When you bet on yourself, you go out and you actually win a Super Bowl. So it worked out. I just don't even know if Lamar went out this season and won a Super Bowl. Like, what does that even do to the market? I don't know if the market can go higher than where Deshaun Watson, frankly, has already set it. And Lamar could already walk into those front offices and say, hey, Deshaun Watson doesn't have an MVP. Deshaun Watson's best season, only 4 wins for that Texans team. And then, oh, by the way, Deshaun Watson at one point, 25 civil suits filed against him, alleging sexual misconduct and sexual assault. Lamar doesn't have any of that in his past. That's the conversation he has with the front office already. I don't even know if he needs a Super Bowl.
No, he doesn't. And I'm going to tell you now, Lamar Jackson and Deshaun Watson may be friends, but when it comes to negotiating, if I'm Lamar, who is representing himself, I'm using all that stuff in my favor to get every penny imaginable. And I just looked up that Joe Flacco contract. It was back in 2013. It turned out to be a 9-year, $187 million deal. And we know Joe Flacco, even though he did win a Super Bowl, is no Lamar Jackson in that situation. If I'm Lamar is smart. First of all, he's smart not to have an agent because he doesn't want to be having to pay somebody else that he can negotiate a deal. And he knows the situation. He knows that he's been injured at times in the past, but he also knows his value to the organization. He knows what he can do in taking this team, you know, continue to lead them forward, because the AFC North is not a cakewalk anymore. Now that Joe Burrow and the Cincinnati Bengals are there, and then when you have, you know, once Deshaun Watson plays, what he can do in Cleveland. So Baltimore cannot afford to dilly-dally and try to screw over Lamar Jackson, because it'll bite him in the end when it's all said and done.
I'll think he's smart for representing himself if he doesn't step on that football field without a deal in place. Right up until that point. And then I'm not sure I'm going to buy. I'm just so against him going out there and risk. It might work out for him, but it's certainly not the smart move to walk out there on the fifth and final year of a rookie deal if you're Lamar Jackson. I want to move on to another subject here, and Mike Wells, Amber Wilson, we're filling in for the guys here on Barton Hahn, because I saw something interesting, Mike, on our.com today, and you guys can check it out at ESPN.com yourself. We put out a couple days ago the NFL future power rankings for 2022. It is projections for all 32 teams for the next 3 seasons. So it's where ESPN thinks these teams are going to be in the next few years. Number one on this list, Mike, and let me know if you have any problem with this, is the Buffalo Bills. the highest overall score when they consider things like quarterback, coaching staff, draft, and the front office. I have no problem with that. I think the future for the Bills is really bright. What say you?
Oh, I love it. And I was one of those guys who was not buying the Josh Allen hype at first. I was like, okay, you know what? You know, he's okay, but I'm not buying it. But he took a gigantic leap last year in what he was able to do in leading Buffalo and then go toe-to-toe with Patrick Mahomes in that wild playoff game. I feel like the foundation is there, and it is not just with Josh Allen at quarterback. It's with Sean McDermott as the head coach. He's got that defensive mentality. They play great defense. So I believe the future is going to continue to climb up in Buffalo, and then what's going to be a wild and competitive AFC this season, Amber. I got Buffalo right there in the mix of it. I'm not going to say they're going to get to Super Bowl, but they're going to be in the thick of things when it's all said and done.
Wouldn't be surprised if they did get to a Super Bowl. So you and I agree the future is very bright up in upstate New York. However, this list gets a little bit interesting to me now when we go to number two, and particularly number three. Number two is the Kansas City Chiefs. I guess I was surprised to see them as high as they were, because I do think the Chiefs got a little bit worse this offseason, obviously, with the departure of Tyreek Hill. So, yes, they've still got Patrick Mahomes. They've still got Andy Reid, right? I mean, they still certainly satisfy the categories in other ways, but I thought they took a little bit of a step back. We don't know how that hole is going to be filled.
Yeah, and not only did it losing Tyreek Hill, but I feel like the rest of the AFC is catching them. I mean, this is not the Kansas City Chiefs do not scare opponents the way they did a couple of years ago, where, you know, Patrick Mahomes was like Houdini with the football, making left-handed passes, right-handed passes, making great plays, and, you know, Andy Reid being that, you know, incredible play caller from an offensive standpoint. I feel like the rest of the AFC is closing the gap. The Chiefs are going to be in the mix. They'll be competitive, but I would not put them in that spot at number two. I completely disagree with that one.
I also was surprised at number three. Now there's a tie in the third position, the Green Bay Packers. I was surprised because, again, these are future projections here. We're talking about a 38-year-old quarterback in Aaron Rodgers. So I'm surprised that we're looking into his 40s and we're saying, hey, this is still going to be the third best team in the NFL. That one really surprised me. And they're tied with the Los Angeles Rams. And I get that. And it seems like the future, obviously, coming off of a Super Bowl win is bright, except for they do have some issues in terms of their salary cap. I mean, I think Donald, Stafford, Ramsey, and Floyd alone account for $105 million of their 2023 salary cap. So things get a little bit dicey from a front office perspective for the Rams.
Oh, yes, completely. And I'm just sitting here. I'm waiting to see when we're going to hear the names L.A. Chargers and Cincinnati Bengals.
At fifth and sixth.
Man, I'm putting it from the perspective of the Rams are in a better position than those two teams.
Right.
Man, I mean, Matthew Stafford's in his 30s, and as great as Mr. 99 rating Aaron Donald is, he's also getting up there in age. The fact they don't have a solid foundation. What the Rams did, they won a Super Bowl because they slid all those chips in, got Von Miller on defense and stuff. It's not like they've got a solid young foundation that you can say the future is bright once, you know, Matthew Stafford and Aaron Donald decide to retire. So once again, two of the three, I don't disagree on those. I don't agree on with those rankings.
Also for the Rams, I mean, less need. Bleep them picks, right? So I don't know what the future looks like for the Rams, because I don't know if he's doing it through the draft when we consider maybe the rebuilding process with some of those older pieces that you mentioned. You do get to the Chargers at fifth. You do get to the Cincinnati Bengals at six. I also was surprised by that. I thought both of those teams should be higher on this list.
Oh, without a doubt. Young talented quarterbacks, talented receivers, Mike Williams and Keenan Allen with the Chargers. You got a Bosa brother dominating on defense with the Chargers. We saw with the pieces that Joe Burrow has in Cincinnati when you have Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins at wide receiver, and you know they're set up for not only for the present, Amber, but they're set up for the long haul and what they're going to potentially able to do going forward.
The Ravens are on this list in the seventh spot. I mean, there's some questions there, and certainly in terms of weapons and receiving core. But I guess if you have Lamar Jackson at the helm, if you believe that he is going to work out a deal with Baltimore and be there, then maybe you're saying, okay, well, the future's bright. You've got an MVP at the helm. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers at eighth, that surprised me, talking about older pieces. They're at eighth on this list. We're talking about the next three seasons. I understand Tom Brady's never retiring, but I'm not sure he's in a Bucs uniform after this season.
Holy cow. I mean, they were paranoid on who was going to be quarterback this season once Tom Brady had his five-minute retirement.
Right.
They didn't know who in the world was going to be quarterback. And they're looking. Mm-hmm. Listen, I know we're both employers of ESPN, but this future power rankings, it's kind of as my daughter likes
but
to say,
it's kind of sketch.
Please
go check it out on ESPN.com. Real quick, the Indianapolis Colts are at ninth. Speaking of old quarterbacks, what are we doing? How old is Matt?
Well, I gotta say this: Matt Ryan, they expect to play for a couple more years. They do have young pieces in Jonathan Taylor, Darius Leonard, DeForest Buckner. They have young guys, Quiddy Pay. They have young guys there to be able to do that. So they just got to find a future quarterback once Matt Ryan decides to retire.
Okay, fine. You talked me into it. So you can check that out on ESPN.com. Coming up next, we mentioned the Chiefs. We'll talk to one of their wide receivers about the loss of Tyreek Hill and what to expect from the Chiefs this upcoming season. This is Bart and Hahn on ESPN Radio.
Bart and Hahn.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Amber Wilson and Mike Wells filling in for the guys here on Bart and Hahn. We are taking you up until 3 p.m. Eastern. You can follow us on Twitter at Mike Wells NFL. That's him. At Amber W Sports. That's me. So the Kansas City Chiefs are entering the Tyreek Hill-less era up in Kansas City. Let's go ahead and get some perspective on that and all things Chief by talking to a current Chief, Kansas City Chiefs wide receiver Mecole Hardman. And Mecole, thanks so much for joining us. What was your reaction when you found out that Tyreek was leaving?
Oh man, I was like, "What? What is this? What's going on?" It definitely was a shock to me for sure.
Man, so basically, your receiving room is going to look a lot different. You lost Tyreek Hill, but you added Juju Smith. You also added Marquez Valdes-Scantling, and you drafted Sky Moore. What's it been like having those guys inside the locker room and you know, just on the field when you guys had the OTAs and the mini camp?
Oh, it's been good, man. I think it just, you know, those guys learning the playbook and just learning, you know, how we do things in KC, honestly. And but they're coming along just fine. I think they're going to be great when training camp get here. You know, more experience with the playbook a little bit and just more how we practice and things. And I think they're coming along just fine. And it's going to be a good year.
Kansas City Chiefs wide receiver Mecole Hardman joining us. Do you think that playbook's going to look any different without Tyreek there? Like, what is that offense going to look like?
I think it's going to be similar. I think it's same thing we've been doing. I don't think it's going to be no difference. It's going to be, you know, different players, different names on the back of the jerseys, honestly. So
when you look at the AFC West, everybody says this potentially could be the best division in football with the quarterback play there with Patrick, obviously with you, Denver acquiring Russell Wilson, Justin Herbert with the Chargers, and then Derek Carr gets Devontae Adams as his wide receiver. It's the number one target. What are your thoughts on when you look at this division as a whole? Is it the best division in football?
I think so. I mean, you got some of the best edge rushers there is, especially defensive-wise. You got, you know, Frank, you got Chris Jones, you got Max Crosby, Chandler Jones, you know, Khalil Mack, Joey Bosa, Bradley Chubb, like just those guys. And, you know, special additions with J.C. Jackson coming up to the Chargers. I think, you know, Devontae Adams came over there, Russell Woods. Like, it's too many names over there, and it's going to be a very competitive division. Already been competitive as it is, but now you add those guys to the mix, man, I think it's going to be a very, very tough division.
McColl, I'm sure it has occurred to you that Tyreek took up a lot of targets, right? And that there might be some extra targets there up for grabs. Are you seeing this season as an opportunity?
Yeah, definitely. I think that's for anybody, honestly. I think it's a golden opportunity, and you just got to take advantage of it, no matter, you know how it goes. I think he had like over 100-something targets, and, I mean, they got to go somewhere, right? So I'm definitely in a position to, you know, get some of those targets and, you know, take advantage of them. So
what's it like being a receiver for Patrick Mahomes? I mean, we you know, watching on television, just some of the things he does, the scrambling and, you know, ability to kind of flick the ball with the left hand. Is it, when you're running your route and you see him scrambling, is it just a matter of, hey, if I get open, he's going to have an opportunity, there's a chance the ball will be coming my way just because he's so creative with it?
Yeah, he's definitely a magician with the ball, man, with the football. So scrambling or just, you know, anything, I think it's, like you said, if you can get open, you know he can get you the ball. You know, he can make any throw on the field, no matter if he's rolling left, rolling right. He just, you know, one of those quarterbacks who got a mind of his own. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's just one of those guys that's like, if you could think or just be on the same page as him, man, you know, it'd be a whole lot easier for you because you know he can get you the ball. So he's definitely one of those quarterbacks you just got to, you know, keep your eyes open because you never know when he's going to hit you or when he's going to no-look you or, you know, just – he'll throw you open. You just never know with that guy. So he definitely special.
Has he ever caught you where you didn't realize he was looking at you and he threw it to you?
Man, have he? Yeah, definitely. And then he's so smooth with it, man. He'll like point at you after the fact, like, you know, look at it because he know he got you with it or something like that. And it's like, hey man, you can't do that, man. Just look at me when you throw the ball, man. Just look at me, all right?
McColl Hardman, Kansas City Chiefs wide receiver, joining us here on Barton Hahn. Amber Wilson and Mike Wells filling in for the guys. So, McColl, we mentioned some of the new names in that wide receiver room. You know, Juju, Valdez, Scantling, Sky Moore. You are now the vet then in that room. As the longest tenured guy in that room, do you feel extra pressure from a leadership perspective this season?
Oh, no. I think that actually come naturally. You know what I'm saying? Especially when guys are coming in ready to learn and, you know, ready to, you know, go out there and play. So I think it's easily, you know. So, but, you know, with guys like Scott Moore, you know, we sit together, you know, in the meeting room. So just giving him some pointers and some tips on, you know, learning the playbook and, you know, what's expected in certain things, I think it helped him out a lot. And just actually going out there and actually messing up, you know, because I think that's the quicker way you learn is when you mess up. I think that's how I learned a little bit. And but also with guys like Travis and, you know, you had like Sammy Watkins and stuff also get you pointers as you went along. Definitely help you, and I'm just trying to be that kind of guy to him, to, you know, to Quez, Marquez, to Juju, to all those guys, just to, you know, be that guy that, you know, they can come to ask, you know, questions or things they don't, you know, they're not, you know, sure about. So I'm just, you know, happy to be in that position to actually help them out and, you know, help them, you know, come along, you know, faster than, you know, normal.
What was your reaction when the schedule came out in April and you saw that you guys had to play the two teams that played that reached the Super Bowl, along with the tough division in the AFC West, and you get the Arizona Cardinals and Kyler Murray and his new contract, Tampa Bay and Tom Brady, Buffalo, San Francisco, Indianapolis? Is like the schedule makers didn't cut you guys any slack this year?
Yeah, they definitely cut no slack at all. No, they didn't do that at all. But honestly, I think it's a good thing. You know, I think that's going to prove, you know, to guys, to the people outside that, you know, we can compete and we can play, you know. So I think it's a good challenge. I think we're looking forward to the challenge, honestly, especially like the first 8 games. I think it's ridiculous. So I think it's definitely a challenge we're going to be ready for and hit it head on and just, you know, go from there and just see what we go stack up against those teams.
So you've got the tough schedule this season. Obviously, we hit on the loss of Tyreek Hill. So a lot of experts out here, McColl, are saying that the Chiefs are going to take a step back this season. What do you have to say to those people?
I mean, we just got to see when the season get here, honestly. I don't see why people think we're going to step back. I mean, it's like, yeah, I thought we lost our whole team. I don't know. So I'm just saying, like, I think we still got the best tight end, the best quarterback in the National Football League, and some of the best offensive line. We got an improved defense, you know. Still got the best head coach in the game right now, the best play caller there is, the Airbnb. Like, I just don't know what people are looking at or what they're thinking. So, I mean, we just got to see when these Sundays roll around. So,
well, we will see it on Sunday because you do have a lot of bests left. Mecole Hardman, Kansas City Chiefs wide receiver, thanks for joining us.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance, a triple threat of protection with home, auto, and more. Visit progressive.com. Coming up next, we will get to your phone calls. Keep them coming. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. This is Bart and Hahn.
Bart and Hahn.
Bart and Hahn with Amber Wilson and Mike Wells, filling in for the guys here on ESPN Radio. In honor of Dick Vitale's incredible spirit, the V Foundation for Cancer Research has a generous donor who is matching V Foundation donations up to a total of $1 million. So we are still desperately asking if you can, please, please, please donate to cancer research. The V Foundation, 100% of everything you donate, every single cent, goes straight to cancer research. Go to v.org/donate. To give and to learn more about the matching donation, v.org/donate. It means your donation will be doubled because it will be matched up to $1 million. So an incredible thing. Again, Amber Wilson and Mike Wells filling in for the guys here on ESPN Radio. ESPN Radio is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. We've been asking for your phone calls, and some of you want to chime in on Lamar Jackson. He is entering, of course, the fifth and final year of his rookie deal without a contract in sight yet, even though Kyler got paid. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Ed is in Wisconsin. Ed, what do you have for us?
Hey, good afternoon. See, this is an omen. I'm a Kansas City Chiefs fan. Mecole Hardman came on. Everything is a good day in Kansas City. Listen. I just think that I want all these guys to get paid. But basketball, football, I just think that people throw – and it's y'all, I'm going to say because of media, they throw around great too often, and they use it too freely. I'm 54 years old. I'd have seen probably in my lifetime probably – I'm just talking basketball, so let's just say football – probably 15 great. Like, you like, oh, okay, this is a changer. And you got some plays that are really good. But Kyler Murray should not have got $200 and something million guaranteed. He's a good quarterback. He's not a great quarterback. That type of money's for great quarterbacks. And he's not that type of dude.
Ed, is Lamar Jackson a great quarterback?
I think Lamar Jackson has the potential to be great. Because this is a – now, he's a different type of quarterback because he's so athletic, and you got to – you really do have to game plan because you don't know if he's going to run. You don't know if he's going to pass. If he was a – I say – let me say, if he could bring his passing percentage up about 10 to 12%, he has the strong potential to be great. But how can you be great when you have not even made it to a Super Bowl? I understand he was a most valuable player, but you ain't made it to a Super Bowl. You haven't really done anything. You know what I mean? You have performed – to the best of your abilities, but great is, you know, they just throw it away so freely.
Ed, thanks for the call.
I got to say, Amber, I agree with Ed that the word great is thrown around, you know, very, very loosely. But the reality is it is a players driven league. And once one player gets a certain amount of money, somebody else is going to say, I'm worth that much. And teams know the importance of having stability at quarterback. The Arizona Cardinals are trying to find that after they went ahead and flamed out with Josh Rosen and traded him away once they got the number one overall pick to take Kyler. Josh Rosen was on his fifth team now with the Cleveland Browns since 2018. So the Cardinals knew they couldn't risk having two quarterbacks taken in the first round not be with them long term. And that's why Kyler Murray had all the bargaining power in his favor in that situation. He knew that the situation Arizona was in.
Yeah, the reality is that you had to pay the good quarterbacks too, not just the great quarterbacks, because of the importance of that position. And this is the result of that. But it is hard to swallow, I think, for a lot of people that Kyler Murray, who's a quarterback that most people do not consider a top 10 quarterback in the league, and there's not a ton of controversy around that statement, him getting this kind of money that makes him the second highest paid quarterback in the NFL annually. It is hard to digest, but it's also the trajectory of where things have gone. We'll probably see Joe Burrow and Justin Herbert reset the market again, right, Mike? I mean, that's the reality of it, because those dudes are better. Those dudes are going to be renegotiating in a year themselves. So I don't know. I mean, it's a salary cap sport. It's not unlimited, but you putting the majority of your eggs in the quarterback basket, it does feel like the place to put them.
Mm-hmm. And that is because if you don't have quarterback play, somebody who can win a game for you on a regular basis, you're going to be coming up short. I mean, you think about the San Francisco 49ers. If Jimmy Garoppolo would have made big plays in the fourth quarter of that Super Bowl against Kansas City a couple years ago, he wouldn't be looking to try to find another team. Trey Lance probably wouldn't be with the 49ers preparing to start, become the next starting quarterback in San Francisco. Jimmy Garoppolo would still be there, but he could make plays in the fourth quarter. Patrick Mahomes did. Jimmy Garoppolo, very good quarterback, but great is not what I'm going to use in that situation. And I think San Francisco realized the importance of having that guy who can win not just one or two games a season for you, but win numerous games a season for you.
I don't even think most people are convinced that he's a very good quarterback, frankly. Obviously, a quarterback capable
of winning.
How
you going to stop on me like that? I'm trying to throw Jimmy G a bone.
I'm just trying
to help him out.
Very good. Might be overstating it. Let's go out to Mike. Mike is in the Bronx. Mike, what do you have for us on Lamar?
Hey, I wish that we would stop projecting the notion that Lamar Jackson is injury prone or this one hit away. Lamar Jackson is great. Yes, he is great. That's not saying that loosely. The MVP of the league. Only great players become the MVP of the league. This man is dynamic. Yes, he's a different style of quarterback because he's dynamic and athletic. But injury prone is far-fetched. He got hurt on a passing play. Somebody rolled up on his ankle. Not him scrambling. Not him making up plays. I just don't think it's fair. In fact, Lamar Jackson is more durable than Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow's been knocked out for the season, tore up his knee, knocked out in college. You don't have those questions about Lamar Jackson. I just wish they would stop doing him such a disservice, man. That man is great.
I mean, I guess it's – is it unfair to call Lamar Jackson injury prone when, I mean, the man's been injured? Right? I mean, he's been injured a lot, and he does play the position in a way that you do concern yourself with the fact that, hey, this could wear on his body the way that he plays unless he spends more time in the pocket. I mean, I think that's a viable concern, is it not, Mike?
Well, when you're a running quarterback, you're definitely in that situation. And, you know, just looking at Lamar Jackson's stats, can't say he's, you know, officially injury prone, missed five games last season. But prior to that, he only missed two games in his first 3 years. He puts himself in position because of his running style when he breaks the pocket. That's a risk with Lamar Jackson as far as getting injured.
It's always a risk for everybody, right? And every quarterback. But I think with the running quarterbacks, you just concern yourself more because they are putting themselves in harm's way. Coming up next, we'll talk to a three-time World Series champion. This is ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Barton Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN+. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.